Good evening, everyone. It is 6 p.m. on January 12, 2022. My name is Mayor Julia Johnson, and I am opening up this city council meeting for the city of Cedar Woolley. I call this to order. If you will all stand with me to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the
United States of America
and to the republic
for which it stands,
one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice
for all.
A little bit different because I have earphones in tonight. So I will begin with a roll call. I'll start with Councilman Owen.
Present.
Councilman Allen. Okay. Councilman McGoffin.
Present.
Councilwoman Kesty.
Present.
Councilwoman Diamond.
Present.
Councilman Lavaca.
Present.
And Councilman Burns.
Present.
Okay, I'm just checking. I see Glenn is on here, so I will mark him present. I do see him on the list. Moving on to approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion?
Madam Mayor, Councilman Owen, approved.
All right. Perfect. Do I have a second?
Madam Mayor.
Okay. So I have a motion by Councilman Owen, seconded by Councilman Burns. Is there any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay, moving on to the consent agenda, items 1 through 8. Do I have a motion?
Madam Mayor, I move to approve the consent agenda.
All right, thank you. Do I have a second?
Councilman Owen, second.
Thank you. So I have a motion by Councilman McGoffin, seconded by Councilman Owen. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay, motion carries. Well, tonight we have a presentation by the Rotary Club. I am looking to see if either Rich Ryrick or I think it was Phil Brockman who is going to present. See if they're here. Mr. Brockman, I see you're here.
I'm here, and I think Rich is on his way if he's not there already.
Okay. Well, I have you up. Do you want me to wait until Rich gets here, or would you like to start?
I can start. Okay. And when Rich comes on, he can talk a little bit more. But I want to thank Mayor Johnson and Council. Please thank you for having us come on. We are representing the Cedar Woolley Rotary Club tonight, and we have always valued our partnerships with the city. And there's too numerous projects to even talk about. We've had so many things over the years. So this latest project is in regard to the sound system improvement at the community center. And the sound system we have now is really old. It's not really working that well. So we have dedicated some funding for the sound system through the Rotary, and we were hoping that the city would also partner with us. So with the sound improvements that we have coming our way, or that we're proposing, is 6 hanging speakers, 3 along each side of the room, multiple speakers improved sound quality, as you know, 2 outdoor speakers to cover the new patio, wireless microphones, of course, new audio equipment, which will be more user-friendly, installed on new equipment that with a rack and recharging cradles for the microphones. That's always been an issue with microphones that are charged up. Echo counseling sound equipment, new audio-visual equipment, which is more user-friendly, tied into room speakers. Sound assisting system to improve sound quality for hearing and users that have hearing aids. And we can actually use their cell phones and earbuds to listen to the programs and to listen to what's going on in the presentations. connections to control the projector and tie it into the audio system for Zoom examples. And the entire system will make it easier with Zoom type connections as well. So the total cost is about $28,000. And we've dedicated about half of that through our budget, maybe a little bit more. And we're hoping that the city would help support this project as you have done in past projects. And I don't know if Rich is on the Zoom call yet or not, but
I did see him. I did see him. Rich, would you like to contribute or add to that?
And Rich is our president this year.
Good evening. I'm sorry I can't let me in right away, and I finally got on. Phil is there, but I thank you, Mayor Johnson, and members of the council. My name is Rich Warwick, and I am the president of the Rotary Club this year. And I don't know exactly what Phil said, but other than talking to you about that, but for the last 2 or 3 or 4 years, we've been working on the community center, trying to upgrade it in many areas. And we've got new kitchen in there, new ADA bathrooms. We've got a new patio outside with new entrances. We've worked on the fireplace, put in a new ceiling tile and new flooring, and turning into a really nice community facility. Kind of the last piece that goes in there is the sound system. As Phil may have said, you know, we have a number of members that have difficulty hearing. And so this is going to help that, helps it become ADA compliant for one thing. And it also, the sound system just isn't very good. Even if you hear well, it's difficult to hear when someone's putting on a program. I think it'll make it something that will make it more attractive to community groups and family groups and so on and so forth to rent the facility to make it something that is used more and more by the community. So we're asking for a contribution to our fund, and you know, we'd like to have around, if we had $10,000, I think we can get the whole thing done. The whole thing is going to be about $28,000, give or take a few dollars. And I don't want to forget to thank the city of Cedar Woolley for all the work they've done on the community center, working in conjunction with our members to get this project to where we're at right now. So with that, I don't really have anything else to say unless you've got any questions or someone has questions of Phil or I. We'll end our participation.
Well, I have to say, thank you for coming on, by the way. So you are a very productive group within our community, and you're absolutely right. You have partnered with the city, and there have been some amazing things that have been accomplished from ball fields right up to what's happening right now in the community center. And I was really hoping that you would come on just so that the council could be familiar with what all you do. I'm going to have Mr. Freiberger kind of step in, but it's my understanding that we always plug in. We always set aside money to work with the Rotary group. And I think sometimes it might be at the discretion of Public Works if they're going to contribute that money. Mark, can you clarify for us exactly how that works?
Well, generally speaking, what we've done, Mayor, is budgeted a certain amount for identified projects that Rotary has brought forth. For instance, you know, we've been buying materials for most of the recent ones and participating with labor and stuff on that. So I really haven't personally been involved in the approvals of that beyond approving the budget items that go into the budget. So this one, Charlie can speak to it better than I, but it probably would be more fitting to look at this as a council from the council funds that you have set aside for a project like this. We could look at other sources too, if you prefer, but that occurs to me to be a good one to consider for this use.
Okay. Charlie, do you have anything to contribute?
It's my understanding that council certainly has sufficient funds to handle this level of project. So that is a viable option if the council wants to go there. And either way, I'm sure we can find a way to get this done.
So they're absolutely right, what Phil and Rich has shared at the community center. It's almost like it has been an overhaul. And Councilman Kesty, because she could actually speak to this because she has done a couple projects over there herself. So would you like to add something to this, Joellen?
Just the teamwork of everybody coming together. It's a beautiful, beautiful spot now, something to truly be proud of. So thanks for everybody.
Okay. So are there questions for Mr. Brockman or Mr. Wyrick at all from the council?
Madam Mayor?
Yes. Councilman Lombaka?
Mr. Richard, will that be something that's plug and play for the community, pretty easy, not a complicated soundboard, or will there be tech available to support them if they were to wish to use it? Thank you.
From what I understand, and I am probably the worst person in the world or almost to talk about tech, but what I've been told is that it will be very seamless and it's just sort of you come in, plug in, and away you go. Is that what you understand, Phil?
Yeah, the answer is yes and yes. Great question. And we do have Mr. Johnson, that's our tech person with the Rotary that is also available to help. And he's already drawn up, in my mind, directions and operationals on how to make this all work. But yeah, it's going to be much less complicated than it is right now.
Okay. Councilwoman Kesty, I saw you had a question.
Well, I was just going to say that during our Rotary meetings and things, when people are trying to Zoom, it'll be nice so that when people are Zooming, you'll the speaker and then the people that are there, you'll be able to hear it a lot better too, right? It'll make for a better system.
Yes. Yeah, this is the speaker system is, we'll have many more speakers, hanging speakers, better insulation on the walls for sound. It'll be much better in that way.
Is this something that council would like to move on?
Madam Mayor?
Yes, Councilman Owen.
I think for all the Rotary does to this city, for this city, I think it's our duty to step up and do something for them. So I make a motion that we give them that money to complete their project. I think he said something around $10,000, right?
Yes, he did. Yes.
Okay, I make that motion that we give $10,000 to the Rotary to complete their sound system.
Madam Mayor, Councilman Allen, I will second that motion.
Excellent. So we have a motion by Councilman Owen, seconded by Councilman Allen, to provide $10,000 for the sound system at the community center as our partnership and moving forward with the Rotary Club as we improve the different facilities around Cedar Woolley. So is there any more discussion or questions? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Well, thank you, President Rich Wyrick, and thank you, Phil Brockman. In fact, you're going to be president next year, are you not?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Yeah. All right. So thank you both for coming on tonight, and we look forward to working with you on yet another project.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and council members. We very much appreciate this partnership.
Yes. Thank you to all of you for this generous donation. Thank you.
You are welcome. Okay, moving on to staff reports. I will begin with you, Chief Wagner.
Good evening, Council and Mayor. My report tonight is probably back to the bleak COVID reports again, unfortunately, which is why we're not meeting in person this evening. Omicron is on the forefront. We've had 1,400 new cases in the county in the past 7 days, which is right up there at our records again. They're looking at that breaking another record this next week at over 1,500. Our hospitals are overcrowded right now, and the majority of those patients that are coming in are COVID-related. They're having also some staffing issues with COVID and our vaccination mandates that have happened in the region. So we're seeing from our end with 911, our hospitals are refusing to take our ambulances at times because they don't have the room. And our skilled nursing facilities and occupational therapy places where we normally discharge these folks from the hospitals are full and not accepting patients. So we actually have what they're calling borders, where patients are in the emergency rooms in the hospitals having to be cared for by those lessened staffs because of this and nowhere for them to be discharged to. So it's definitely hurting on many levels. We're going to get through this. The county testing site is also being overwhelmed. They're only open on Monday, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, but where they used to have a full hour of open operation from like 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., now they're oftentimes having to close down early because they're at capacity with the amount of tests they can actually do prior to the time of even closing. So with us, staffing is still an issue for us with residents and the volunteers. So if you know anyone out there that is interested in being a volunteer for Cedar Woolley Fire or is interested in the fire EMS services, we have rooms available for our intern type program that we have here. And we're testing this Saturday. We are crossing our fingers. Right now we have five or six applicants that the Volunteer Association is going to be testing this week. If all goes well, we'll look at starting an internal academy as our normal academy venues are not operational until probably summer at the earliest. So if we can do something within, that's what we're going to try to make happen. Other than that, all goes well. And thank you for signing off on the consent agenda for that ambulance fees. I appreciate it. Thank you, folks.
All right. Any questions for Chief Wagner? Okay. Thank you, Chief. And I will move on to Chief Tucker.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a couple things here. Kind of piggybacking on what Frank had just put out related to COVID. We had one of our folks out for about a week on COVID. And they tested COVID positive, didn't really suffer any symptoms, but stayed home as part of the quarantine program. Process. And now they're back to work. We are, in light of that, we are prepping for what we call our blue and white team approach, which is basically if you're military, port and starboard, just making sure we're all split up in case we do have one exposure or one positive on a squad, that we can divide things up and not lose half the department to quarantine. So we've got that planning in place. Somewhat like we did during when everything was shut down, we had divided up into four squads, and we got a pretty good plan in place, just ready to pull the trigger if it becomes necessary. On another note, some of you may have seen we had a post on social media yesterday about a high-risk motor vehicle accident on State Street. And that has a little bit to do with COVID as well. Since the hospital is full to overcrowding, a subject had been taken out to the hospital on a mental health / drug hold just to try to get them checked out, make sure they were doing okay. That person was stuck in a waiting room for quite a while, decided to leave, went back to where they were earlier and was laying in the street for some odd reason, and got ran over by a car. Doesn't seem like they were badly injured, but it was really part of the causing factor was not just the mental health and drug issues, but the inability to get medical care during this time of crisis. So this is affecting a lot of areas that is affecting all of us. So it's becoming much more problematic, but we're ready to take the next steps to keep our folks safe. And then finally, just a quick thing, we started working on a strategic plan in 2018 that got kind of preempted whenever we went to do the work for Prop 1. And Prop 1 solved a huge portion of our strategic plan problems with personnel. Well, now that we've gotten the people hired, we've got systems in place, and we're getting back to moving on to a strategic plan. Charlie's hooked us up with Richie Coleman, who's going to be stepping in, and we're meeting with him next week. I'm talking to him tomorrow, but meeting with him a week from today, and we're going to go over the basics of strategic plan and get working on that. And we'll keep you filled in as that goes along. And that's all I have, Madam Mayor.
All right. Thank you. Any questions for Chief Tucker? Okay, hearing none, we will move on. I'm going to kind of shift it. Usually I have Mr. Bush and Ms. Thompson towards the end, but I'm going to flip that. I'm going to start with you, Charlie Bush.
Thank you, Mayor Johnson. Three items this evening. First one, we're working on an interlocal agreement with Skagit PUD regarding fire hydrants. Right now, the city fire department provides service to our fire hydrants. Those fire hydrants are connected to PUD's water system. And typically, water providers would much rather do the maintenance on fire hydrants. PUD is already doing this work for Mount Vernon, and they have approached us and asked if we would allow them to do work on the fire hydrants in lieu of the fire department doing it. And Chief Wagner is appreciative of that opportunity to allow them to do that work. And so we're just negotiating an interlocal agreement with PUD that we'll be bringing to you in the next few weeks that will allow for that to occur. So just wanted to give you a heads up on that. Second, we just today learned of the opportunity to open a FEMA Disaster Resource Center here in Cedar Woolley. This is related to the flooding that we had back in November. And that will be a place where FEMA staff will be available to meet with impacted residents and businesses. And we're looking at the old library site. There was a meeting out there today. It sounds like that's probably going to work out, but I haven't heard details from that meeting just yet. And next steps are still happening. But that could very well open here in the next few days. So just wanted to give you a heads up on that development. And then lastly, I bought a house, we did, my wife and I, in Cedar Woolley. And so we're in the process of moving in, and we will be in on Friday fully. So we're really excited about that and happy to be settling into the community. And that's my report for this evening.
All right, thank you, Charlie. And Nikki Thompson.
Thank you, Mary. So our office has now officially taken over the prosecution function for the city, and we are working hard to get up to speed and transfer some 700 cases into our electronic files. So that has been quite the undertaking the last 2 weeks, and we very much appreciate all of the support we've gotten from the police department and from Bill in IT. Transitions are never easy, but we are doing our best, and hopefully we will get this all straightened out soon. Other than that, I don't have anything of interest to the group this evening.
All right. Thank you, Nikki. Finance Director Debbie Burton.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, council members. As New Year rolls around, it's time for a lot of changes within the finance area. We are implementing many process improvements that really roll out throughout the whole city. And so I just want to acknowledge, you know, my staff for their support, and also everyone who's being impacted by these changes. Especially these first couple of months, we're going to probably run into a few bumps and get a few bruises. But I believe that in the end, this is really going to be much more efficient processes for our city, for our staff, for sure. So trying to free up some time. I'm excited about that. We will be having a special finance committee meeting on Wednesday, January 19th at 5 p.m. via Zoom. The Washington State auditors have finished our audit for 2020, and so they will be presenting the report to the finance committee at that time. It is an open public meeting, and so it will be posted on our website tomorrow, and so I invite other council members to join if you are interested. So it's good news. It's not, there's no bad news. So, but it'll be, I'll let the auditors share their report. So, and that's all I have this evening.
All right. Are there any questions for Debbie? Okay, hearing none, we will move on to Director of Public Works, Mark Freiberger.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. So Chief Wagner talked a bit about COVID. I just wanted to let you know that's been going through my departments pretty regularly. I've got three out on COVID isolation or actually sick with that, one fairly seriously. So solicit your prayers on that. Other than that, we have been following our planning for how we deal with that. In particular, we're concerned about the wastewater plant to make sure we maintain the minimum level of crews there. And so we have a plan in place if we lose another employee from that department to make sure we have continuity of service there. Beyond that, we've been working, I have with the mayor and with Mr. Bush on meetings with the legislature. Mark Struley, our lobbyist, has been helping schedule those for us. We've had two so far with Senator King and Representative Barkas. We'll be meeting with Representative Eslick on Friday, and then we have meetings set up next week for Representative Fye and Senator Wagner. So that's, I think, going pretty well. There's not too much chance for a transportation package, I understand it this year, but there are other moves afoot to make use of some of the pretty large budget surplus that you've been hearing about to try to direct some of that towards infrastructure type improvements. And so we'll be following up on that as we continue those meetings. The construction work on the wastewater treatment plant and the public works buildings is moving along at best it can with the weather we've been having. They have poured the foundations and the stem walls for both of the structures, and they have installed the underground utility plumbing for the wastewater building and are working on it on the other one and getting ready to pour the slab for the first building there. So moving along pretty well. They'll actually be, in fact, they are coming out of the ground. They've already installed some of the masonry on the public works building that'll make up the wainscot on that. And so that'll start looking like buildings before very long down there. In addition to that, David is continuing his design work on our shared use path out on Highway 20 from Holt Camp to Hodgen, hoping to get that one in shape so we can build that in 2023. And tonight, with your approval of the consent calendar, we'll get the executed documents going for the TIB grants that we got and begin the selection process for consultants to design the SR9 and John Liner McGarrigle project. And then David will begin designing the trail road overlay project there. We received our 100% plans for the Olmsted Park project. They're on my desk to finish a review. David's already taken a look at those. And we hope to get that one finalized in the next month and have that ready to bid early in the spring for construction later this summer. Been lots of other odds and ends going on in addition to that, but that's the highlights of it. So thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mark. And now we have Mr. John Coleman, Building and Permits.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. We just have a planning commission meeting next Tuesday, and it'll be just one item on that agenda. And last Wednesday, I spoke with the council at the council work session and provided a lengthy presentation. So I think you've probably heard enough from the building and planning department. I'll leave it at that.
All right. Thank you, John. We heard that it was quite a hearing examination today as far as the questions and the testimony. So thank you for the time and energy that you put into that. Those were important. So,
yeah.
All right. Thank you. Moving on to any questions for either Mr. Freiberger or Mr. Coleman. I'm trying to be more conscientious about asking those things. Okay. Hearing none, we will move on to council reports. I will begin with you, Councilman Owen.
Thank you, Mayor. I have nothing.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Allen?
Madam Mayor, nothing at this time. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Councilman McGoffin?
Hi, thank you, Mayor. Just looking forward to the committees this year, starting with the finance one to hear the financial audit. But other than that, not much to report.
All right, thank you. Councilwoman Kesty.
Thank you. I just wanted to thank Bill for all of his help today so that I could be on screen. And I did have a question as far as the this cemetery program. How is that coming along?
This is Bill Chambers. So basically, they're still working on the data migration portion and the presentation portion. So we should get an update from them soon, and I can request a more detailed update and present that to you at the next meeting.
Okay, thank you. Councilwoman Diamond.
Good evening. And I don't have a whole lot. I just want to, again, really extend my thanks to the city crews for everything they've done over the past couple of weeks with the weather, and then being short-staffed with people out with COVID and that sorts of stuff. You know, they really put in a lot of long hours. And I know, at least speaking on behalf of my ward, there was a lot of people that were really, really happy with seeing them out and clearing streets and making sure that everybody was taken care of, that they were able to get to work safely and to take care of business. And that's really appreciated. The same thing with for goes out to fire and police, being able to make the calls and take care of our community. So thank you very much. Other than that, one of the things that we've noticed here, at least I've noticed on my street because it specifically happened to me and a couple of my neighbors, but we're seeing an increase in semi-traffic coming down Reed Street and Ferry Street. One so much as actually took out one of my service lines, ripped out directly from my house, and ended up in the street, and we didn't have our services reconnected for a week because we couldn't get a hold of anybody at Comcast and Xfinity, and you know, because it's all automated services, so nobody can get that stuff taken care of until you just literally hound them, you know, all hours of the day. And so one of the things that you know, neighbors and that we've all kind of been requesting is just really watching that, because some of the, I know we can't stop that traffic from coming through town, but it does happen, and they do go through these residential areas to avoid the roundabouts and to avoid the traffic and the backups as they're coming through Highway 20. So that's just something to keep in mind, because that is something that can happen due to the way that the service lines and stuff have been placed over time through these neighborhoods. So just a heads up, of course, the truck didn't stop. He kept going. So, you know, but we understand that it's not the first time that it's happened, but it did happen recently. And so just so that, you know, people are aware that this stuff does in fact happen. And it's happening more and more. And it was actually really nice and quiet with the snow and less traffic. So it was very peaceful. But outside of that, the only other question that I have, and I've been asked a couple different times, is when people can expect to see the new behavioral health facility on Highway 20 open. I haven't heard an update on that in a while.
So the last update that we received on that, they were still waiting on supplies. And so like all the other construction sites, trying to get supplies to the site has really been challenging. I know they had hoped to be opened, I think back in September was what they had been shooting for.
Right. Right.
Yeah. But it just hasn't happened yet. So that was the last that we heard. I will follow up on that though for you, Sarah.
Perfect.
And see if I can find out more information.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You bet.
That's all.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Lavaca.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
I'm excited about the committees. Yeah, they look a lot of fun. The Parks and Recreation, it seems like it'll be a fun summer. A lot going on. I look forward to meeting with Nate and Mark on those. And excited about safety and technology. I think there's a lot we can do there for sure. So I'm excited about them. And I wanted to thank everybody for helping me out. And yeah, the streets really got cleared quick with the crews. And there was a lot of thankful businesses downtown. And there was a lot of thankful people around that I kept hearing about. So awesome job, guys.
All right. Thank you. And Councilman Burns.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just want to say thank the city staff for everything they do. You know, I forgot to mention the last meeting, I saw people out plowing streets on Christmas Day. So I really appreciate you taking time from your families to get out there and help our city. Also appreciate your patience with being short-staffed, having people out sick. I know that can be quite challenging. So really thank you for your hard work. I look forward to the committees. I'm raring to go, business development. Hope that we can make some positive changes in the city, help our community as much as we can. So that's all I have tonight, Mayor. Thank you.
All right, thank you. So some of what I was gonna mention has already been talked about. We have been meeting with the legislatures, and I want you to know that it is Mr. Freiberger who's doing the majority of the presenting and doing a fantastic job. So I would like all of us to thank him for what he is doing for the city. It's hard work on top of everything else. He has to put together a presentation, and he's only got a few minutes to really present a lot of information in a short period of time. And he does an amazing job. So many thanks to Mr. Freiberger for that. I didn't hear if Chief Tucker actually said that today we swore in a new officer. Isaiah Van Dam was sworn in today. He's the last of the hires and the last to come out of the academy. And so we swore him in today, and he is officially on the job. Just to make the council members aware, we are going to be, because of state law, we are, this happens every 10 years, going to be redistricting. What does that mean to you? That means that your wards are going to look a little bit different. It's a project that we are just getting started on. I think we have till the end of the year to complete it, but it's a project that we will be working on. So you'll be hearing more about that as we move through that process. The council committee's assignments went out. I tried to give everybody the requests. I think I did a pretty good job, and I look forward to hearing what you bring forth in the council committees. And I truly hope that we seem more engaged and more energetic than perhaps the council members have been in the past. So I look forward to seeing what will be accomplished and what will be brought forth. So kudos to you, council members. Ride-alongs, as you probably saw, or maybe some of you saw, with the police department has been delayed, canceled anyway, because of the virus that we're dealing with now, the variant that we're dealing with now. Those will be rescheduled. That's something that I think is really important that you all have an opportunity to do. And I know that Lieutenant McElwraith will make sure that that happens when we come to a place where it's safer to do so. We did meet with SCAT this past week, both Mr. Freiberger and Mr. Bush and I. SCAT is expanding their route here in Cedar Woolley. They will be hitting more stops and more streets, a wider berth and breadth of the city. So that's pretty exciting. They've also increased their speed time. When this has been a couple years ago, my niece and nephew and I decided that we were going to ride the bus to Mount Vernon just to see how long it would take. And, you know, sounded like fun. Over an hour later, we arrived from Cedar Woolley to Mount Vernon. So not so fun, because then there was the ride back. It was, you know, more than 2 hours of our life. We'll never get back. However, they did improve that. It is now about 20 minutes. So that's good news. So if anybody within your ward is having questions about that or wanting to know what's happening with SCAT, there are some great things that are happening, and especially here in Cedar Woolley. And it is also listed on the website if they want to go search that. One last thing, you heard Charlie Bush mentioned that FEMA may be coming in to our decommissioned library. I want to say that that is really only possible because of Nathan Salcina and his team, his crew. They have been working hard to
clear out the mold and the mildew and clean it up and shampoo the carpets and to get debris out of there. And so they have done a fantastic job. And once FEMA has completed their process in there, if they so choose to go in there, then we know that we can move forward with the Y bringing in a couple different, we'll have more discussion on that, but they have ideas of what they'd like to see happen there for the city of Sejawooli, for the students of Sejawooli, and also for the community as a whole. So other than that, that is all I have. I don't know if there's any questions. Okay, hearing not, we will move on. And it is right now 6:40, so I will open it up for public comment. Is there anybody on the line right now who would like to give public comment? Okay. I do not see or hear anybody, so I will close public comment at this time. I want to remind the public that we do accept written comments or questions. They're accepted by letter, email, and you would address that to the finance at cedro-woolley.gov. All right. Unfinished business. We talked about last week, and we're going to continue the conversation about the equitable investment resolution. And Charlie is going to be handling this, but also we have Will Honey on the line for questions, also to perhaps provide some clarification if you have any. Let's see, Charlie, I'll just let you take it from here. And Mr. Honey, I want to thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor Johnson. Just a real quick introduction, and I'll turn it over to Will. So item is back from the last meeting. We talked briefly about this on the 5th of January. My apologies. I've made some updates to the agenda material. Somehow they did not publish the way I thought they would. So I'll just really quickly mention that I would have updated the date, for example. This is really the second read at this point. So we introduced this at the last meeting. We want to provide the opportunity tonight to talk with you and with Will in more detail if you would like to go there. And then we would certainly entertain a motion for action if you're so inclined, or if you want more information, we can bring it back at the next meeting. With that said, the rest of the information remains the same. And I'd like to turn it over to Will, as it was a lot of his material that was in the packet, and it was originally his request coming from Skagit County to us to consider this resolution. So take it away, Will. Thank you.
Thanks, Charlie. Good evening, Mayor, Council members. Thanks for affording the time to talk about this. Charlie, I could probably talk for hours about this. I grew up commercial fishing, and I'm really into salmon. So, but Charlie asked me to limit it to 4 or 5 minutes, so I'll endeavor to do my best. So what this is about is the federal license for Seattle City Lights dams on the Skagit. There's three of them, Gorge, Diablo, and Ross. They're just outside Skagit County, but you know, all of the Skagit River Valley below these dams, for the most part, is in Skagit County. And it has, you know, this is a 50-year license. So this is the only time we can have this conversation for 50 years. So it's a pretty significant set of decisions. In addition, Seattle's dams are certified by the Low Impact Hydropower Institute as green certified. So they're the largest green certified hydro project in the country. You know, is obviously a pretty significant economically valuable thing. When we came into this, there's quite a few things that the county cares about in all this. Obviously, flood control, working with the Diking Drainage Districts and paying attention to that. You know, the use of our land base for mitigation by power utilities, like has bought 12,000 acres and pulled it off the tax rolls as mitigations for its activities. And of course, if you do that enough of that, we don't have a land base and a tax base. So there's a bunch of issues involved in this. It's not just about salmon, but it is, in a sense, very centrally revolves around salmon. And by the way, in that green power thing, you know, every hydro project is green in terms of its carbon footprint. They're all low carbon, so it's really about how they treat fish. But in any event, why do we have so much conflict over salmon in this valley? I mean, Skagit's kind of legendary for conflict over salmon and treaty issues. And this has been going on for 30 years and so much effort, but so little results. For example, Skagit Chinook, which is the focus of the recovery effort. That's what all the recovery plans are centered around, Chinook. They've declined in the Skagit by half in the last 15 years. So something's not working. And why is that? Now, another piece of this is that Seattle's been really very active in salmon and salmon recovery issues in the Skagit, to an extent a little unusual almost for a kind of distant city's power utility. And we're really the driving force behind the Chinook-only recovery plan that we're all working under. It isn't working. So when we came into this, it's, okay, this is not working. Let's look around. What is working? And we can look up the river at Puget Sound Energy's facility on the Baker. 15, 20 years ago, that run, the sockeye run in that river system was functionally extinct. And this last year, there were some 35,000 that came back. And that's all thanks to the fish passage that the Upper Skagit tribe negotiated on that facility. One reason that it works particularly well is that sockeye don't bite hooks in the saltwater, so they all make it back here. Chinook, everybody's catching them out in the saltwater, so that's part of this equation. But, so what in the Seattle City Light Relicensing, in the course of conversations, what we discovered is that the same thing can be done up there in the upper basin, particularly on Ross Lake, and resource managers think the capacity is something on the order of 500,000 sockeye, or in as well as help for threatened Chinook, steelhead, and so forth. We're a couple hundred thousand sockeye is a big deal. Just to put that in the context, the bumper year that we just had for coho, for silvers, everybody was catching silvers all over the place. That was right at about 100,000 fish. It was an anomaly. It came in over projection for whatever reason. This could end up being a really big deal and actually improve the situation. Now, Seattle doesn't want to do that. And here's why. Building a facility like that requires front-loaded bonded capital. And what they prefer to do by way of their mitigation is to pay it out over time, over the next 50 years in small amounts, give grants to folks, it affords them goodwill with people and so forth. But the fact of the matter is essentially everyone else in the Pacific Northwest has been required to do fish passage because it demonstrably works. You can look around the Pacific Northwest and it's, passage is 98, 99% survival rates for fish. And it also involves propagation. In other words, new production. So, as we got into this, the federal agencies said, you guys need to take a look at what everybody else is spending and what Seattle's been spending. So we did, with some help. On what it reflects is, and I put it together in a spreadsheet, this has been part of some of the discussions at the federal level, but, Seattle has been contributing over the last quarter century 37 times less than the Pacific Northwest regional average for salmon spending. And when you compare it, and by the way, to do this apples to apples, or oranges to oranges, or however you say that, you look at how much salmon spending per megawatt, because it's a rough and ready calculation, but very large dams have very large impact typically, and the converse is true. So, when you compare it that way, we as local ratepayers are contributing 59 times as much towards the tribe's recovery objectives through our power rates. Every month when you write a PSE bill, that's embedded in there. It's a couple bucks for the average residential ratepayer. You don't even notice it. Most people are surprised when I tell them about this. In this whole process, Seattle wouldn't consider fish passage at all. And there was a lot of, I think, media exposure over the last first half of 2021, and they changed their tune and agreed to go ahead and study it. There was some concern that they weren't really proceeding in good faith. We've gotten to a point where You know, there are studies. This is that need to happen. This is a complicated thing. We don't just go out one day and construct Fish Passage and declare victory. It's a multi-year, very complicated thing with a lot of factors. But we are at a point where it's moving forward, and there's debate. You know, two of the tribes are very focused. So Sauk, Sue Attle, and Upper Skagit are very focused on Fish Passage. Swinomish is set its has its priorities recovery of delta habitat. Now we have some concerns about whether that's going to bear fruit, given that everybody else is catching Chinook and the delta enhancement's principally about Chinook. So, but nevertheless, they are a sovereign tribe, and that's their right to push for that. And so where we are at this point is we need to turn to other things, but we think our community needs to understand and put Seattle on notice that it's really, they need to contribute at the same level we are to this problem. The treaty right, Endangered Species Act listings, everybody that's been around here for more than a week understands what a big deal and what a big impact that has on everything we do. And so it's a collective problem. And so that we need to insist that others contribute fairly to that collective problem. And so that's what we're doing. It's just letting Seattle know that we think if they want to be the largest green certified hydropower project in the country, that's great, but they need to do the things that go along with that. So that's what this resolution is about. And I hope you'll be able to approve it. And certainly I'd take any questions you might have.
So are there questions for Mr. Honey?
Madam Mayor, I have a question.
Yes, go ahead. Councilman McGoffin.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Honey, for the presentation. I just had a couple questions. The first one is, do the Department of Fish and Wildlife have any sort of regulations or standards for green projects that, you know, have impacts on the fish that they've passed or that are going to pass that could help us with this?
So all relevant fisheries and resource agencies are involved in the relicensing. So National Marine Fisheries Service, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. And they've been quite active, and they have said, there's no historic anadromous barrier, and the upper basin is very likely, it could very well provide a refuge for salmon in the face of climate change. It's deep, cool lakes fed by glaciers. So they're active in this, but third-party environmental certification is by its very nature extra-governmental. It's a representation that you are doing better than what the government requires you to do. So there's sort of two things going on in parallel. There's Seattle getting its federal operating license, a context in which agencies can make them do things. One of the problems with that is during their last license process, Seattle dragged it out for 20 years. You know, they're $1.3 billion a year entity, Seattle City Light is, and you can afford a lot of lawyers and consultants and media consultants and so on and so forth. So that's a problem, particularly for, you know, small tribes, small entities here trying to stand up to that. So, but they're up for green certification in a couple of years. And we've said, you know, look, this green certification is about Fish Passage. You're the worst in the country and you're claiming you're the best. So we can't support this recertification in a couple of years if you don't do the right thing. So it's WDFW is involved, but not in the green certification piece.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Mr. Lavaca.
Am I to understand that this vote will be something that goes along with other community cities and that go along the Skagit?
This is something we're others. So Lyman has signed one. Anacortes has signed one. I think Concrete was considering it, and I was going to go back. Wildcat Steelhead Club signed one. They're not a city, but important group in our community, nevertheless.
Okay. I like the way that it's worded here on the bottom of the memo, in that it's stating that in passing this resolution, It would be a statement of solidarity with Skagit County and other jurisdictions in, that take the same position. It would be in support of a healthier salmon habitat and passage in the river, which supports the health of our ecosystem at large, including the ecosystem in and around the city of Sijewole. It would strengthen the negotiation piece and position of Skagit County and other stakeholders regarding the new dam license with Seattle City Lights. So that's really when you're looking at this, that's what you want to consider. Are you wanting to make a statement, stand in solidarity, or do you want to step away from this? So I put it out to you, Council. What is your wish? What would you like to do?
Madam Mayor.
Yes, Councilwoman Kesty.
I just had a prepared comments that I'd like to read into the record.
Sure, absolutely.
Thank you. Our fish are being held hostage. They are slowly declining, and we are not focusing on the root cause of why that is, because we have allowed the fish to be a political tool. If we didn't, we would look at bringing back hatcheries, stop focusing on expanding habitat, and start focusing on how to increase the run to occupy the habitat we currently have. We would look at commercial harvest, regardless of the entities doing it, and allow the salmon to make it past nets to spawn. My hope is at some point, we will all come together for the fish and stop using them as leverage. And hopefully this resolution is the beginning of that.
Thank you, Councilwoman Kesty.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Appreciate that.
Madam Mayor.
Yes.
Will, a question for you. My understanding of getting fish above those dams, you'd be transporting fish above it to start with, and then they would start spawning in that area and returning. Is that the idea?
I can answer that. There's a debate in the environmental tribal community about all of this, in the sense that, just restoring habitat, and, if you build it, they'll come, is it has a nice ring to it, but it doesn't work. And so when they removed the Elwha Dam over on the peninsula, the Elwha Dam was, nobody wanted it. It was no longer in use. There was a big debate between kind of Seattle-based environmental organizations that felt that we should just let nature do its thing and the fish will come back. And the tribe said, hold on a minute. The salmon have been wiped out. If you don't reseed this system with some production, it's not going to happen. And the tribes prevailed in that discussion. So there's a hatchery on the Elwha to reseed that system. What's going on with these dams is they're, in a sense, a dead medium above the dams because there's no fish passage. And no way for juveniles to get downstream as well. And so there would presumably within this be a production element where there would be a production of salmon, presumably sockeye, chinook, and so forth above those dams. I think people recoil a little bit at the idea of this fish taxi service, where we're going to drive these fish up and But it ends up, you have to build some sort of instrumentality. And so a very expensive, elaborate operation. And by the way, I have no particular insight on what's going to be built at the Seattle City Light facility when it happens, mm-hmm. because, that's the province of engineers and scientists. But, what we're working on is to make sure they have the resources to do it. But that fish taxi thing ends up being really efficient. The salmon only come at a certain time, and just having a truck to go back and forth a few times is a lot more cost effective than this multi-million dollar conveyance that might, that would otherwise, that it replaces, you might say.
Mm. All right, thank you, Will.
Are there any other questions or comments for Mr. Honey? Okay, hearing none, what would council like to do?
I'd like to put forth the motion to pass the resolution of equity.
Salmon. Madam Mayor, I'll second that.
Okay. So we had a motion by Councilman Lavaca, seconded by Councilwoman Diamond. Any more discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay, so the motion carries for resolution 1085-22 to support, to commit to the regional equity of the salmon investment in the Skagit River. So I want to thank you, council members, for your questions, for your consideration. And I especially want to thank you, Mr. Honey, for being here tonight and giving a very clear explanation as to what it was that the council was considering. I feel really good about this. I'm glad, council, that we have decided to move forward with this. So thank you, Mr. Honey, for being here. Just a quick question regarding the resolution. So just so it is presented in a package with everyone else, do we send that resolution to you or where would that go?
You can certainly send it to me. You should certainly also feel free to transmit it to the Office of the Seattle Mayor and Council. They are ultimately responsible for Seattle City Light.
Perfect. Good. Thank you. That's where we want it to go, where it's going to be heard and seen, or read and seen in this case. All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you, Council. Have a good evening.
You too. So we do not have any new business, but I do want to make mention, I see where Mr. Hull, our new Port Commissioner, is actually sitting in on our meeting tonight. Mr. Hull, I would like to welcome you. Very exciting to have you here. And I didn't know if you wanted to say a few words. I would certainly like to give you a couple of minutes if you would like to share something. Otherwise, we do welcome you to our meeting. Maybe he's left. I don't know. Anyway, thank you, everybody. That is it for tonight. Very short meeting, but a really good meeting. There is no executive session. Our next meeting will be January 26th, a couple weeks away. And if there is anything for the good of the order? Hearing none?
Hi, Madam Mayor. This is Malin. Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
For some reason, my computer froze up for a second. I couldn't get it to unmute. So anyway, and I can't get my camera on mute right now either. But yeah, I am the new Port Commissioner, and I'm going to try to make as many of these meetings as I can and try to help out where we can, especially in cooperation with the Swift Center here in Cedar Willy. But it's good to be here on this meeting, and hopefully we can meet together soon. So sorry about the late delay. I just couldn't, for some reason, my screen froze up. So anyway, but thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for being here. And no worries. We all have those Zoom issues and gotta love it. It's okay. What we're living with.
It is. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So thank you. All right. So if there is nothing for the good of the order, Mr. Allen, I see your mic is on.
Yes, Madam Mayor. Thank you. What I would really appreciate is I get so many emails and stuff from the city. Nobody ever puts a date sent or a date of the meeting. Could that be something that City Hall could prioritize?
Okay. It should show up on the email itself. I noticed on mine that the date's right at the top above the name of the person who has sent it. Is this on your iPad that you're looking at this?
Yeah, maybe I need new glasses. I don't know.
Yeah. So.
If there's a meeting on the 12th, just write down from, Charlie Bush. I'm not picking on Charlie. Meeting January 12th or whatever, That would be helpful or something from any of the departments. But anyway, I'm just getting be old and frail. So okay, thank you.
Well, Glenn, do you text?
No.
Okay. I was going to say, because sometimes that's the best way to reach people. I've noticed with some of the people on the council, I know if I really need to get something to them, want them to see something right away. They're great about responding to text. So, okay, well, that's fine. We will try to be more conscientious of that, Glenn, to make sure that you're able to participate.
I resist, Madam Mayor. I don't text, I resist. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Mayor, I think what he and Glenn, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I received an email also that it had a date on it, or, you know, but, or a request for a meeting, but I actually had to click on the Zoom call link to actually find out when the meeting was. It wasn't in the body. So that might be what he's mentioning. I'm not sure, but that's what I had to do in order to find out the actual date of the meeting.
Oh, okay. So it's the appointments. It's setting up the appointments.
Yeah.
In the what when it is, it just, you have to click on it to find out when it is. So that may be the Glenn, you can correct me if I'm wrong, what the clarification issue could be.
Yeah, because that could actually come with an email. I mean, it could be put into an email, and the email could state the date and the time along with the link to to accept or whatever. Yeah, okay. Good to know. Thank you. Thank you, Sarah, for the clarification. Okay. Anything else?
Yes, Mayor.
Yes, Mr. Freiberger.
Yes, I was remiss earlier, and council reminded me, several of you commented on the snow response, and our crews have worked really hard at that, and I appreciate your comments and your compliments, and I will pass them on to the crew. Charlie had also asked me to prepare a kind of a what went well and what didn't go so well with that. And I've got that together. I won't trouble you with it tonight, but I will bring that to council next time and discuss that a little more, just as a follow-up to Charlie's request. So, but thank you again for complimenting the crew, and I will pass that on to them.
All right, thank you, Mr. Freiberger. All right, everybody, I hope you have a wonderful evening. And if we don't see you before, we'll see you on the 26th. Have a good night.
Night, everyone.
Night.
Night. Night.